love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband. Still trying, as hard as I can, to reconcile my family. I saw Lynn and Gary today. I went and picked up my boot. I picked up my boots. All I had was the heels done. Normally I get the heels done 3 or 4 times, and then I get the heels and the sole done, because otherwise you go through the sole. But the heels go quickly, the sole not as fast. But the guy, you know, because I'm dealing with a person, and I have a reputation with him. You know, I'm the guy that walks a lot. I got there to pick him up today, and the front of the sole was starting to wear through. So he patched that too, as just a nicety. And I find those things a huge joy. You know, and I think a lot of it, so much of it comes from building relationships. You can build a relationship with a small business. You don't do that as well with Walmart, a place I haven't been in years, but anyway. But I got to Lynn and Gary's place, and we talked a bit. Obviously, they were still, you know, Gary, I think, mostly so excited because he gets around again. And that's a really big deal for him. A comment was made that I thought interesting. Because I don't know, I remember one day when we were on Straw Hill Church, we were in the barn, and the people we were leasing from, they were there too, and the guy's son was working on a tractor or something. So, and I remember watching him, you know, we were talking, but he was in the background working, but he worked at a steady pace, at an aggressive pace. He was quick. It wasn't kind of just do this, but he was working rapidly. And the comment that Lynn made today was, she said, you know, we see people working on the chair when they've had people. They come in, they get like 2 people, because the chair has a center pin on it that it sits on. It has the platform with the wheels and the batteries. And then the chair sits on top on a stud. And so you loosen the bolt and you can pick that up, because it's you know, a rod in a hole, so you pick that up, and it's fairly heavy. I would guess. Oh, I don't know. Now you know, I was the one that did it, but I think maybe 30 pounds or so, because yeah, it was pretty heavy, the comment made is that when they see other people working on it, they get 2 people to lift it up and do all sorts of stuff. Whereas I walked up to it, grabbed it myself, picked it up, and set it aside. And they said, you know, young guys don't do that. and it reminded me of seeing that guy when we were at Straw Hill. Anyway, I just thought that's fantastic, because especially for people like that, getting people who will, you know, they have 2 people that come by being paid for by the state. You know, he gets a lot of state coverage because of, I think some of it's from TVA. He was a guard at the nuclear plant, and some of it is just simply, you know, federal Social Security or Medicare or whatever. But they pay for some people to bring by actually food and do some cleaning and whatnot. And they say they're as lazy as can be. Hard to work with. You know, hardly do a thing for you. And then, because I'm afraid, see, that's our culture. And that's what happens with large enterprises like government agencies. You got the job, you're satisfied, you don't have to work. I've seen that in the software industry. Yeah. And you point that out, or you don't live that way, you get in trouble. But also, I saw a report today, you know, and again, I have no idea where your stand is. I really don't know anymore. about, you know, the mask issue and the vaccine issue and so forth. But I'm quite convinced from the research I've done, because the people behind the vaccines, they're also behind genocide, eugenics, which, you know, the best way to do work on eugenics is genocide. It's basically across the board. You know, obviously the Bill Gates and who is very much a eugenicist, the Queen's husband, Prince Charles, whatever. He's very much a eugenicist, and so forth. People like that, they want to cull the population. And there's a whole lot of things that are happening to do that. You know, part of it is pack people in cities. China is ahead of us in that game. That they're forcing people into cities, because then you can control the population, and the population culture changes. You destroy the family because so many things. But you know, they're producing these vaccines by the millions upon millions already. So many have caused so many problems in the past, and we're expecting this one to be different. Well, it is different in the sense that it actually, apparently, physically changes your DNA, which is a problem. I think there's been a few deaths reported from people who have taken the vaccine. And of course, they question whether or not it's because of, you know, when you die of a motorcycle accident, then you can call that COVID-19 and nobody questions it. You die of, you know, cancer or whatever, but you got exposed to, or you were simply near somebody with COVID-19. They call it COVID-19. But if you die now because you had the vaccine, it was because of comorbidities. So, I mean, it's a remarkable world we live in. And then I've seen pictures of people, apparently at least several have got this issue where you lose control of half of the muscles in your face, and half your face droops. You take that and you get that disease, get that problem in your face that everybody's going to see, for a disease that arguably, you know, because again, there is no pandemic. The total death count in the world and domestically hasn't changed from years past. There's no pandemic. But I look at those things and I wonder about my family. The world is going nuts. There are some who are not. And it's interesting, too. Obviously, because of what I do, I see the difference between what major media produces. I don't watch, you know, CNN, Fox News, those kind of things, because they're just entertainment stuff. I do try to watch some foreign stuff. RT out of Russia. I haven't done as much press TV out of Iran of late. Al Jazeera out of Qatar, because, you know, like you take those two, RT and Al Jazeera, they're opposites. They're kind of the Fox News versus CNN in a radical difference. But the thing I really appreciate about RT is they're the ones, you know, like the one gentleman in Vietnam that I mentioned before. They would do that. They've done one that, you know, I don't think any American company would touch. Yeah, the title was "I Want My Sex Back." People who have gone through sex change operations and said, "No, this was a big mistake." You know, I don't. Domestic media wouldn't touch that. But watching that and the difference, because you can watch Al Jazeera, especially, they frame questions in such a way that, oh, you know, this, I mean, is that the two can talk about the same event And when you listen to their two reports, it's kind of like completely different. But neither of them I would take as reliable. I am more inclined to the what's called the alternative media. I find that interesting. But when you look at, for example, the protests about not only anti-vax, but about not wearing masks and the lockdowns, they're huge. The one in Berlin, it's been repeated. The ones in London, they're repeated. Huge crowds. And you listen, the one in Berlin, it was huge. And U.S. media said only about 5,000. And no, it was huge. And they had, Robert F. Kennedy spoke, Jr., obviously, spoke there. And, so he was the big American name there. Because he could play on the Ich bin ein Berliner from his uncle. John Kennedy was his uncle, I think. Anyway, it's just the distortion. You see that distortion in so many areas. The mass thing, the vax thing, and so forth is just the popular thing. The election thing. Oh, it's amazing. And I wonder how many people in my own family buy into what the CNNs and Fox News stuff tell you. And that's the way they think the world is. You're buying into the institutional church, aren't you? Because, obedience. Oh, I'm sorry. One other thing. I had a wonderful dialogue today. And we were discussing Romans 13:13 through 14. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Yeah, seen this before, read it before, and so forth. And usually you what I hear focused on is, the orgies and drunkenness, sexual immorality, and so forth. But make new provision for the flesh. And it was kind of like, what does that really mean? It's give no forethought. It's the pornoia, which is, a similar word to what I've discussed before, the pronoio. They're both about, to consider a thought, which is the 1 Timothy 5:8. And, it was suddenly that connection, because you're not supposed to plan, give forethought to do things like, I'm going to plan on going out and get a bunch of alcohol so I can get drunk tonight. That's the forethought that we're supposed to avoid. Or I'm going to plan to steal. I'm going to plan to do something violent. I'm going to plan to do something unloving. But the same idea, I'm going to plan to prepare for my wife and my kids and grandmothers and so forth by preparing my kids to take care of them. That's the 1 Timothy 5. That is the purpose of it, not how it's twisted. And the issue here is I contend on it, but not with people in the institutional church because they're simply too scared. They don't want to take on someone who's trying to reconcile a relationship with them. Oh, what is that? Postcard reconciliation. Interesting. I got long. I'm sorry. My lady, I love you.